We want to welcome our listeners to our Complex Philanthropy podcast. Many times the gifting of a business interest or the liquidity from the sale of a business is utilized to donate money to a cause or causes that a family cares about. Prior to getting to that final sale, however, there are many issues that, if not addressed properly, can lead to an unsatisfactory experience for the business owner. This series has and will continue to attempt to help you as you begin the process of selling your business. In our previous two sessions, we've talked about the importance of being able to understand who your ultimate buyer should be, being able to have a clear picture of what your goals and values are that you want to retain both during and after the transition or sell, and then also understanding how to work through the complexities of the buy-sell itself. Today's final part in the series is called The Timeline to Success, where we will be discussing the critical elements necessary to have a successful implementation of the selling or transitioning of your business. My name is Mark Hagan. I work for UBS Financial Services. I've been in the business for 28 years, and I've been with this firm since 1999. Currently, I run the charitable planning part of our practice at UBS. I have a chartered advisor and philanthropy designation. I'm certified as a financial planner on the team and also work as an investment consultant for foundations and endowments here at UBS. On an outside activity, I'm the founder of a nonprofit called Emily's Place. We're a faith-based ministry that serves survivors of domestic violence here in the Collin County area. Today, we're joined by two amazing professionals to finish the series from the J. Taylor Firm in Fort Worth. Joe Taylor is the founder and chairman of the board for the managers. He has spent over 40 years as a CPA, emphasizing business advisory and tax planning expertise with special emphasis in areas of formation and structural planning, business reorganization, business buy-sell structuring, estate and gift tax planning, business valuation, and business development. A graduate of Oklahoma State, he began his career at Ernst & Young, where he was senior manager in their tax division. He's recognized as a distinguished alumni by the Oklahoma School of Accounting, and he was also a recipient of the 2021 Wilson T. Anderson Hall of Fame Award. Herd Mitkiff, who is also a partner of J. Taylor, runs their consulting practice. Herd has almost 25 years of business valuation and consulting experience with many industries. He's a member of the National Association of Certified Valuators and is a certified valuation expert. Herd graduated from Texas Christian University, and he has an MBA from Southern Methodist University here in Dallas. He also has authored many publications and has been a presenter, speaker at many forums around the nation. So as you can tell by our lineup, and certainly after listening to the first couple of podcasts here, there are no two people that are going to be more qualified to speak on this complex topic. As a quick reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place, Inc. We are not recommending securities for sale, and the intent of today's podcast is for educational purposes only. UBS does not offer legal or tax advice, and please consult your tax attorney or CPA. Joe and Herd just might be that for you after today's segment. So, fellas, thanks for being here to wrap up this three-part series. We finally made it to the end, and quite arguably, this could be one of the most difficult parts of the entire process, being able to understand the timing it will take to successfully implement the succession steps. Joe, what would you like to add to that as you think about this last part of the process here?
Yes, Mark. So key starting point here is that we've got a ripe seller and a ripe buyer. And so I've got a seller that's ready and I've got a buyer that's ready and capable. And that's always got to be there first, but there's so much more to it. I was looking back over, I looked at the last eight transactions I was involved with, buy-sell transactions. And of those eight, four of them were internal transactions, three of them were with private equity firms, and one was with a competitor. I really kind of focused on the transactions, the internal transactions. They were all successful. Most of them involved a transition, or I'll say succession, over at least 5 years. So they were not short. They, you know, the buyer and the seller, they knew each other. The buyer knew the culture, you know, was able to transition into management. But on the internal transactions, the thing that we found challenging was the financial piece. Because a lot of times the buyer comes up, they're junior to the founder or the existing owner, and may not have quite the financial capability to just pull the transaction off themselves. So there's going to have to be some financing. And over what period of time do you do that? And how much pressure does that put on where you set the price? And there's just it's not a dance, but you have to work it. And you've got to really do a good job of understanding where the seller is and how ready they are to let go of it, how willing they are to let go of it, how important it is for maybe them to let go of it. And then you've got the buyer on the other hand, and how ready are they? And I will say, looking at those transactions, you could say, well, a longer transition is better. And I think most of the time that is the answer, longer transition better. But there were a couple of these that I looked at that too long of a transition would have been harmful because the buyer would have lost interest. They're ready to move into it, ready to receive the baton. And so finding that balance, it's like prior to podcasts that we've had, we've talked about how important it is to understand custom, understand the elements of the buyer, the seller, and the transaction, the business that's actually being sold. All these that I described have been successful. And then when you're with a private equity buyer, it's a whole different deal. You know, you don't have the transition is very short generally. Typically, they want the seller to stay on for a couple of years. Most of them, it's 2 years. And it's not as complicated, although the seller does need to do work in terms of preparing the business to sell. So there's some time that's involved with that.
That's good. Herd, what do you think on some of that? I know you guys work together on many transactions together, but you also have some that you will be the lead on as well.
Yeah, I think one, and I think I said this the last time, but you know, plan, and plan some more. I think where it really describes it well, talking about both buyers and sellers being right. And you want to plan in such a way where you can be ready at the right time when it's either internal sell or external sell. You've kind of got all the pieces in place and you've got an idea of it. And you're not scrambling trying to, if you're the seller, you're not scrambling trying to figure things out while you're trying to go through a fairly complex process. So I think that's key to it. I'll kind of take the internal side of it first, then talk about PE after that. And I think it's back to the internal buyer. If it's people that have worked in the company a long time, they have a long relationship with the seller's probably been their boss in a lot of ways too. So there's a unique, you know, relationship dynamic, but now they're doing this financial transaction together. And so you need to enter that gently and tenderly sometimes is the way I would talk about that and to make it successful. And I do think, again, time is your friend here. If it's going to be an internal buyout, if we're looking at sometimes it could be 10 years before the person's ready to retire, but they want to do succession now and then have 10 more years to kind of make sure the company's in the right place. So you want to make sure the deal gets set up right on the front end because you have a 10-year transition that's going to occur. And so you want that to be done correctly. And then back to the private equity piece, I think the time there is on the front end because once the private equity buyer is involved, you're right, it's going to be, the deal is going to happen. It's going to be a fairly quick exit 1 to 2 years after that. But that's where you want to get your company ready for sale. You want to understand what drives value and make sure that you're doing things to maximize the value of a company and you're not deciding to sell it past that peak point after maybe you've already wanted to slow down after things are maybe starting to deteriorate a little bit. You want to sell before that happens. And I've seen, unfortunately, cases where people want to sell maybe after the fact, after they've already slowed down too much and they're not going to realize the value that they could have maybe 2-3 years earlier.
Go back to the part about sometimes in the transition or the sale of the business goes to somebody else that they've been working with for a long time and the sensitivity that comes with that. I'd be interested in both of you guys what some of that really looks like. One, maybe you take it from the junior partner, the person taking it over, and then Joe, maybe you take it from the actually owner of the business transitioning it down.
So different things are working here. When I'm looking at a buy sell and I'm looking at the parties involved, it's not really accounting and finance initially. Initially, it's more the psychological piece and their needs and what they're looking for. And so if you're the senior person, especially if you're the founder, but even if you're not the founder, but you've been there a long time, you've carried the gavel for a long time, you've dealt with the ups and downs, you know hills and you know valleys. So you're pretty weathered usually to this point. And you may be really attached to it and you may not. Depends on what's going on at home and the rest of your life. We'll have some sellers that are just not ever ready. And then you've got some where Seller is tired. They've done it. And especially, this is the best of all circumstances, they really like the buyer. They really like what the buyer is going to do. They see that they've got a buyer that thinks differently than them. They see that as valuable. They've done all they can to train them at that point. And now it's really time to hand off. And that's the best kind of a succession that you can see. But every situation's different. But I would say on the senior party, as you say, Mark, the senior party, the toughest thing to deal with is when I've got one that just really, really has a hard time letting go. They know they need to. They've got life reasons why they need to let go. But for all kinds of personal reasons, it's hard to let go. And you've got to really actually structure the deal around that to help make that work well, I think.
What do you think on the other side of that with the person that's looking to acquire that business, not only from viewing, let's just call it uphill at this point, thinking, well, I know the owner doesn't really want to quite let go, and what that does for creating either anxiety or an opportunity to be successful in getting the transaction to move forward.
And I'm approaching this from an internal buyer standpoint. Let's say you have a group of young leaders that are going to take over the business. Hurdle you have to overcome there is, it's like, well, after these new people are owners and now have equity in the company, what's that really mean? What's that mean in terms of the way decisions are made? What's that mean in terms of governance of an entity? And really, you need to think through what that looks like. And we've had clients where we've helped kind of lead them through an exercise of what does governance look like now? Now that we're going to put a little more formality around some of the structure, how do you make your decisions to get made? You always go back to the company documents, whether it's sort of a partnership, you've got a partnership agreement or some sort of operating agreement. You go back to that, but oftentimes it may say one thing on paper, but then really, what's this mean? You know, how do I effectuate this in real life? And I think it's back to that psychology of making sure all the parties understand that and they've talked all about that and have that sort of vetted out prior to doing something. So then once you consummate the transaction, you're ready to go and you've kind of thought through all of that.
So as you, the buyer and the seller or owner, begin to move towards this ultimate goal of transacting this business, you guys have talked a lot, both in some cases we worked on together and in previous conversations, about the importance of being able to understand collectively what it's going to take to get the business to the next level and being able to create a vision for the company by defining some goals and articulating the way that business can possibly scale. Joe, speak a little bit to the benefit of that type of conversation with the owner.
You're talking about the selling owner.
Yes, the selling owner, yes.
Yeah, selling owner. So that becomes very, very important in terms of what, not only where the business is now, understanding the business now, but what can it be? Because a buyer, many buyers are buying a business not for what it is just right now. They have these things they think they can do with the business that aren't being done, you know, aren't being done currently, maybe because of lack of capital, maybe because of lack of applied technology, maybe because the human resource component is applied in a way that they think is not as efficient as it could be. So it does really help a lot if those conversations take place between the buyer and the seller. It'll increase the seller's confidence in the transaction. It'll also, I think, increase, there's kind of an intangible that I've done a good job. I brought it to this point. I'm going to hand it off to Herd now. He's young and got energy, got some good capital, and he's going to take this to something I couldn't take it to. And I could feel really good about that because I helped get it started and put it in place. Because, you know, as we know, a key on the selling of a business, the buying of a business, and it being successful is for both parties to want it to work for the other. I mean, I understand that if I'm entering into the transaction, I'm thinking first about my ledger, right, in terms of what this is for me. But I'm not going to really be a very good negotiator of a transaction if I'm not also looking at it and saying, I want this to work for her too. And he wants to do some things different with it. I'm good. That's why I'm part of why we're here. I think that attitude is important. And I think a good consultant and spending time with the parties involved, the buyer and the seller, can help nurture that confidence and that conversation and really make it a better transaction.
Heard, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think it's back to the life cycle of the business and the point at which the owner wants to sell and someone wants to buy it. They want to buy a business that's going to continue. They want to not only buy the existing business, but they see a future there and they see value that they're going to be able to create and then ultimately hopefully realize that value, whether when they retire, whether they sell internally or externally as well. And so back to setting that vision, setting those goals, it's up to the owner who's selling. They need to see what that vision is and be supportive of that vision, because that's going to help them realize their value. And then the person who's buying it as well needs to feel comfortable about buying into this history. But then I can also see the future and take this instead of having the business crest and fall, which is what happens when everyone kind of takes their foot off the gas. They're going to see, well, I'm buying it at this point, and I now have a platform to take it to this next level. And I think both parties really need to see that at some level. Otherwise, the deal's not going to happen.
How often would you say that you get to those discussions there and the direction that the new potential buyer wants to take the business is one that the original, the owner or the seller, just really isn't that motivated or think that makes sense? Does that happen very often?
Oh, Mark, that happens a lot. It really does. It's like selling your house and somebody, that's why you don't ever want the seller in the house when the buyer comes in to look at. Why are these walls painted this way? And, you know, so it does happen, and it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. But to the extent that the seller is not insecure, that's an unfair term for this, but it's helpful that they have a bigger vision, right? A vision down the road a little bit, and realizing that there are other ways and maybe better ways than how they've done some things. So I think that involves just some good mentoring of the seller in terms of kind of their perspective. But yes, there are some, I'm sure, buyers that think they're just going to take it and carry it just as it has been in the past. But most of the transactions, like I looked at the last 8 that I've been involved with, and maybe one exception, one of them, the competitor buying the business, I don't think they were going to change it a lot. They just wanted to increase market share. But the others, the buyer really may not have espoused it, you know, strongly to the seller, but they really had some real ideas of what they wanted to do with the business.
There are multiple components for this transaction to be able to be completed. The expectation, the timing, while all of them are very important, it seems to me the expectation of timing is really critical for both parties, because either you get a disinterested buyer because of the time that they thought it would take versus when it happened, and the same maybe for the actual seller. So if you looked at just the top 2 things when you walk into the room, I know there's more, but the 2 things that you want to make sure you cover when you sit down potentially engaging and or leading a founder through this process of what's really critical for them to understand if they don't hear anything else in the initial conversation.
The 2 things I would want the seller to really think about, I want them to be acutely aware of why they're selling. That's important. And the other is, I'll do everything I can to engender a perspective that this buyer might be able to do some neat things with this business. You set the foundation, but let's let them bring it in and do things for employees, for vendors, for the community, maybe some things that you haven't done to this point. So open their mind a little bit to them having done something really foundational to a business that could actually be really maybe even much more than they ever dreamed. So if I could get them thinking that way, I think that really is a helpful attitude in negotiating with the buyer. Creates a good realistic platform for it.
Got it. And Herd, what do you think on the other side of that?
From the person buying standpoint, I think it's real similar. It's like, well, why? Why do you want to be an owner? Why do you want to have equity in this business? I think you hear so many times, especially in partnerships and really the, you know, the industry that Joe and I work in, professional services, people, oh, I want to be an owner. I want to be a partner, because it sounds neat. And maybe a lot of times that's as far as you thought about it. Well, what's it really mean to be an owner? And yes, you see all the glory and the upside, but here's also the costs involved just emotionally from that standpoint. And so really making sure you understand that and see that and are ready for it, right? For it maturity-wise, not only financially-wise. And then the other piece of it is, once you're there and you want to be an owner, you're ready to do what it takes, which is a lot of work. Yeah, but what's the vision you have? And this is going to be a very exciting thing. And here's what you're aiming towards. I think having that defined as well. So almost just the mirror image of what Joe's talked about is, are you ready for it? And why are you doing this? And then don't you see this is a really exciting thing that both parties should be excited about, because this is a new platform and a new beginning. It's not an ending for either party. It's a new beginning for both.
That's fantastic. You guys obviously have been really successful in the marketplace over many, many, many years. I've seen it personally, and I know through some of the stories within what you guys do with your firm, with the clients you guys take care of. You guys are a powerhouse in the Fort Worth community for sure. And I want to thank you guys both for being a part of the educational series here around successful transitioning or selling of your business. For me, I would sum in one sentence for those that are listening here today, to be successful at selling your business, you need to be very thorough in your process. And being thorough takes time. But the truth of that is, a successful business that you have built deserves that last attention to detail, even if it takes a little bit longer than what you initially had in mind. So I want to thank everybody for being a part of this series with us. If those that are listening would like to have a further conversation, or you've got some general questions about your specific business or process, or you'd just like some more information regarding some of the conversation today, you can email me at mark.hagan@ubs.com, or you can call direct 469-440-0604. Also, follow our series of podcasts in the Apple Podcast app or on Spotify. It's under the title Complex Philanthropy. We hope you've had a good week, and we hope you have a good rest of your day. As a quick reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place, Inc. We are not recommending securities for sale, and the intent of today's podcast is educational only. UBS does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with your tax attorney or CPA. And I'll say it again, Joe and Herd might just be that for you today after today's segment. Thank you.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.